And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Cereal Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Jenny Lee of TripleCrownHonda.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Condiment Ali of ContinentAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week we'll be joined by a very special guest from the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers, Miss Michael of VoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. Together, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of voodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual voodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Kat and Conjurement Ollie. Miss Kat?
Hi, thank you for that lovely introduction, Miss Tammy Lee. We are in the midst of an incredible heat wave up here in Northern California. We've been hitting in the 90s, and I'm sure it's worse down in Southern California where Conjurement Ali is. How's it out there in Florida? Are you holding your own?
Well, we sure are holding our own, but our normal time of the year between lower Alabama and where I am, it's 95 to 105 with a heat index because of the humidity. So Miami actually has it easy, and Candela, who's joined us here in the chat room, he knows that he's got some good winds coming off the Atlantic down there, but when they come off the Gulf, it's mostly storms and just some real hot weather up here.
All right, well,
valleys up here.
Well, for us it's a little bit on the ungodly hot side, and especially for September, but we're watering the garden and trying to keep it all together. How's it down where you are, Ollie?
Oh, it's definitely quite warm.
Definitely.
I've had the AC on. Whenever summer comes around, I tend to go into a reclusive mode. The windows get shut, the blinds are drawn, and the AC is on.
You know what we call that? The AC and the OC. The AC and the OC, yeah. Up here in Sonoma County, very few of us have air conditioning, but down there in Orange County, y'all do, I know. Well, things here at the shop are jumping along. I've got a few things to report on. Number one, the September newsletter is late. Yes, you noticed. And I will be trying to get that out, hopefully, before midnight tonight. Just ran into a bunch of little glitches, and that was what happened, little glitches. Also, as some of you who follow on Facebook know, I made a post today. I made my 7,000th post at the Lucky Mojo Forum.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, they won't say that for long, but right now, if you go there right now, it'll say 7,000 posts, but it just keeps adding them as I go on. That forum started in January of 2009, and I have to thank Leah Rivera and a man named Art who helped us with that. Setting it up, and it's been going since January 2009. And my 7,000 posts, of course, is just a lot of posts, but there's really, if you go there, you'll find, over 100,000 posts. And we've been working on that forum for a long time. If you have any questions about Lucky Mojo products and want to know how to use them, go to the forum. It's forum.luckymojo.com. Log in, and you'll find that it's organized into different sections. One section is about products. Another section is about the shop itself, you know, how to order, things like that. There's also a section on situations and conditions. You know, so you would post there, for instance, look up the love section or the money section. And if you can find a thread that your post relates to, try to add on to that thread. Don't start a new thread. But if you start a new thread, someone will fix it and merge it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the moderators, we have more than 20 people are now moderators. And I want to give a good shout out to some of the moderators who are currently working in there, doing their best, especially Miss Aida, a new moderator.
Mm-hmm.
Aura has been working lately, Joseph Magnuson. And but there's a lot of other people who moderate. Miss Bree, Conjurman Ali, Miss Michael has been moderating recently. And they answer your questions, as do I. And they'll direct you to different Lucky Mojo products you can buy. They'll give you free spells, just right off the top of their head. They'll write a spell for you right there in the forum. So if you don't know about the Lucky Mojo forum, do try to go there, forum.luckymojo.com.
It really is a great place.
Yeah. Also, as a result of last week's little rantola about Lama Dama, I had mentioned in the rant, I have a web page on that, but I didn't give the URL. The URL is not at Lucky Mojo. So people were looking at it and they were like writing to me, "What? I can't find it at Lucky Mojo." That's correct. It is at the Mystic Tea Room. Now, mystictearoom.com, that's MysticTearoom, Mystic Tea Room, all lowercase, all run together. You'll get used to that site soon. MysticTearoom.com is my site on divination, particularly divination teacups. So if you go to MysticTearoom.com/LamaDama.html, you'll find the page I was talking about. And Nagashiva, my dear husband, transcribed that piece of the radio show and put the transcription on that page. And there are, on that page, 36 paintings by Harry Roseland of the Black fortune teller of the Brooklyn, New York, of the 1890s up through 19-teens. And I'm in the process of organizing them by her age. You can see she starts off with a dark skirt, kind of middle-aged. She gets older, she gets heavier. And then when she gets real old, she loses weight again. And you can sort of follow the portraits of her. It's always the same lady, but you'll follow the portraits of her over the years. And I'm sort of organizing them by style. So check that out, and I hope you all
enjoy
it.
That was under transcribed.
Yeah, yeah. And the transcription, again, thank you to Nagashiva for doing that.
Sure.
It really came out nicely.
I enjoyed hearing your rant over and over again.
Because you had to transcribe it. You had to listen to it over and over again.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Great. You give great screed, Miss Cat.
Yeah.
Great screed, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. MysticTearoom.com/LamaDama.html. I've raised a few feathers and hackles on a few of the people around me. I don't care. I also received some good thank yous from people from the Afro-Caribbean traditions, Cuban traditions, Dominican, Puerto Rican, and some of those folks who said, hey, it's about time someone said this. So thank you for thanking me. I like that, too. All right. That was my news for the day. And now we have our dear Miss Michael here as a guest. Before we bring her on, let's give a minute or two to Conjurman Ali. Tell us what you've been up to lately.
Sure, I'm more than happy to. I've been quite busy. A couple of different things. One is some news, and the other one is a quick suggestion. News was interesting. Back at the May workshop, I kind of showcased geomancy for a couple of people, showing what it was, because a lot of people didn't know, actually, what it was when I said, oh, I'm doing geomancy. So I did a quick demonstration for a small group of people, and we worked on the case of Ariel Castro. At the time, we didn't know it was Ariel Castro. We were focusing on the victim. And I did a quick prediction using geomancy. And using it, like I said, the victim will be found. perpetrator will eventually kill themselves. Well, the victim was found, but I just got an email, a couple emails actually, from the people who I gave the demonstration to, that the fiction came out very accurate, that the man, Ariel Castro, who was behind the kidnappings, did indeed commit suicide or take his own life this past week. So the prediction that we gave back in May came true. So that was really cool. It was a way of showing how divination isn't just used for finding out things like, oh, will my lover come back? But can be used in larger situations to predict the outcome of trials, to find missing people, to help solve crime, and even in political venues as well. So it was nice because I had completely forgotten about it, but two people emailed me over the weekend or this past week and were like, I remember that reading. Do you remember when this happened? And it was very exciting. So that was kind of a little bit of a cool news tied into the workshop. The other thing I have to say is I just suggest, you know, we're in a bit of a interesting times with Syria and the Middle East and, you know, thoughts of intervention. I highly suggest for people to set a light, praying for the wisdom, praying for serenity, and praying for the right decision to be made during this time. So no political announcements, just prayer for goodness all around.
All right.
Yeah.
Prayer for goodness all around is probably something we should do every day. And I just heard about that one, too, and I got to send up a prayer for that poor lady journalist and Indian woman who married a Afghani man and wrote about the Taliban, and they just took her out and shot her. And that just broke my heart. Poor lady. She could have been safe. She could have gone back to India. She could have gone anywhere as a you know, political refugee, but she did not. She stuck it out, and they killed her. So wherever this stuff happens, you know, it's a good idea. And Miss Michael, I know, does this too, to keep a world peace candle going. Humans are vicious, vicious animals, and we need to kind of, you know, get a moral handle on what we're doing here. And
that's right.
It's always good.
I have three lamps that I light every night on my justice altar. One is Frederick Douglass.
Mm-hmm.
One is either a rainbow pride candle or lamp. And the other is just a general justice lamp.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I had the pride candles going, Bayard Rustin said, what? No, I want to work for all the justice like I did in life. So I have two lamps for him to get involved in. But, yeah, I've got a pile of prayers under my justice lamp all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like it's the old Jewish Kabbalist in me, mercy, severity, mercy, severity. And justice sits between the two. And,
right.
And that's what I'm always looking for. Sometimes severity is the answer, sometimes mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly mercy, unless it's, you know, beyond the pale, and then we have to ask for severity. That's kind of the balance. That's why the scales are balanced, mercy and severity.
But a lamp or a candle in the dark can go a long way.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. So, let's say a little prayer for Syria and hope that they...
Not just Syria, but the world.
Well, yeah, I hope everybody gets
that's
one straight.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Well, there's just so much going on, and it's complicated situation. As the president says, it's understandable to feel either way about it. And we're not going to criticize anybody who feels either way about it, but there are things that need to be thought about and addressed at this time and give the leaders strength too, because I'm not a big follow the leader, but I know they're the ones who are pulling the strings here, and we got to hope that they have the insight. All right. Well, with that, and that kind of leads us into howdy, Miss Michael, and Miss Michael and our panel discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So Miss Michael has proposed for a panel discussion biblical work, and this does not only include the Psalms, but all forms of biblical work in hoodoo. And I just have to say that there could be nothing more appropriate than that previous discussion, because if you all read your Bible, if you read what's in the Bible, you'll notice that there's an awful lot going on in there about politics, up and down, and moving of borders, just kings and unjust kings, captivities and freedom.
Yep.
The Bible is full of all of these political intrigues of the time during which it was written, and we find that these apply to where we are right now. And I'm going to say, for one, just as for a shot, and I hope someone will pick up and find that URL for me, maybe Mr. Nagashiva will find that URL, the use of biblical work in casting a prayer or a psalm goes back forever, ever, ever. I mean, the Jewish imprecatory psalms. Oh, yeah. 3,000 years, 5,000 years.
Okay.
That's used all the time. Those psalms that we know as psalms were written by David, usually, you know, as a king or before he was a king, when he was just a young man running around the wilderness trying to save his ass. Those were prayers and spells. But people have turned those in different ways, too, to make what seems like preaching, but is actually a spell. And one of them is my most favorite, the old Hitler, You Must Come Down. I've posted about it in the forum. And I hope that someone will look up the URL and post it for me. Hitler, You Must Come Down. It's online at Lucky Mojo. And that is something that is basically, it's a 78 RPM record of a preacher casting a spell. Yes, Hitler in Hell. There it is. ZenGen got it. Thank you so much. It is luckymojo.com/Hitler and Hell with hyphens between. Hitler hyphen and hyphen hell, lowercase. Look in the chat room. That thing really does show an old-fashioned way to work with the Bible. Now, having said that as an intro, let's turn it over to Miss Michael. How do you work with the Bible, baby? Because we know you do.
Yeah, well, I actually have been combining two of these mighty streams of hoodoo, the old Bible stream and the brand new high-tech stream that Cost Excelsior opened up for us back in May. So I got a Bible on my altar, on my iPod on my altar. And, you know, I've got the verses that I want to queue up for different, I've got them bookmarked under the names of clients, and I read those as I light their candle or lamp or skull light every night, or bathe their little wax doll baby or whatever, whether it's a psalm or a verse out of the Old Testament or the Old Testament or the New Testament even. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 for a troubled marriage. Of course, Psalms, I think it's, I can't remember if it's 45 or 145 for specifically and traditionally for a troubled marriage. But when I go to my justice altar, I always start with Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps our infirmities, for what we ought to pray for as we need to, we do not know, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings unuttered. I always start with that because, you know, so often when I light those lamps, I don't know where to begin. Yeah. And I'm getting into the Book of Common Prayer, and it's interesting because that's an old tradition that we rarely hear about. And one of the reasons we don't hear about it is because when Harry Hyatt went on his grand tours of Conjure Country in the 30s and in the 70s, he kept finding that a lot of workers used the Book of Common Prayer in their work. And he himself was an Anglican minister, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he
was. So I believe that's why he says that he found it offensive and wasn't going to record any of it, and so he didn't. But if you go to the Book of Common Prayer, and you can find it at bcponline.org, and in the menu on the side, you will find a selection called Prayers and Thanksgivings, and you open that up and you will find prayers for the world, prayers for peace, prayers for the church, prayers for the national life, for the president, for Congress, for sound government, prayers for the social order, for social justice, for the poor, for the right use of God's gifts, for the natural order, prayers for practically every conceivable occasion, prayers for the dying and for the dead. And so, you know, it's laid out just as what is the Hebrew name for that book that the Secrets of the Psalms was based on?
Shemath Tehillim.
That's right. It's laid out
the
just like
magical
that.
Magical powers of the Psalms, yeah.
Yeah, it's laid out just like that.
Okay.
You know, this prayer for that condition.
Mm-hmm.
So
now,
I'm not surprised that the old workers picked up on it, and I'm less unsurprised, almost as unsurprised that Reverend Hyatt didn't pick up on it.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Book of Common Prayer and the use of it. If you are working with that in a conjuration hoodoo context, what do you do? Do you light a candle? Do you just stand there and recite it? How do you do it, sweetheart?
I would work it just as I work the scriptures. I would recite it at first until the bits of the text kind of get stuck in your brain. You got it half memorized, and then you find yourself riffing on it. You condense some, you expand some, just as you're led to by the situation and by the spirit.
I kind
of treat all prayer texts the same that way.
Mm-hmm.
And one that I have discovered recently that I absolutely adore, which is very long, it's called St. Patrick's Breastplate, and you will find, I found it at prayerfoundation.org.
Hmm.
It's a very long prayer. But it's basically it goes back to the 8th century in Gaelic, and it was translated into a beautiful poem in the 19th century, a beautiful English poem, and now it's also a hymn, which you can find on YouTube.
St. Patrick's Breastplate.
That's right. And it's basically a name it and claim it prayer. It begins, "I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity." And it's basically binding to yourself the love as well as the power of God, the beauty as well as the power of nature. And Christ, you know, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. And in my crystal silence prayers, it's even creeping into there, because when I pray for everyone who submits a prayer request to have wisdom, I'm thinking that's where I wanted to find it, in the hearts of all that love them, in quiet, in danger, in the mouths of friends and strangers.
That's really beautiful. I just have to add, portions of this prayer, not the whole thing, are also circulated in greeting cards, on the internet, you name it, as known as the Old Irish Prayer or Old Scottish Prayer. And at southernspirits.com, I have a portion of that prayer in the section by Mary Alicia Owen on jackballs.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
King
Alex. Albert.
King,
yeah.
No, King Alex was his name. He was a root worker who was part Native American, part African, and we don't know what else, but he recited a portion of that prayer when he made a jackball for Mary Alicia Owen for her to give to someone else. And so this is a prayer that has been a part of hoodoo going back at least to the 1870s, 1880s, when she collected that.
That's very interesting. I am so glad to find out that prayer has roots in conjure.
Yeah. It's at southernspirits.com. Someone will probably, it's got a long URL for the actual thing. It's like, you know, Mary Alicia Owen Jack Bowles, blah, 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 .html. You can find it by looking in the 19th century section under Mary Alicia Owen.
Yep.
Okay, and
I just got it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so
Owen Hoodoo Luck Balls with hyphens.
Oh. Okay, Owen Hoodoo Luck Balls with hyphens, right. Yeah, just whatever. But you'll find it if you just go to southern-spirits.com. There it is, and Jen just got us that one. And that is an interesting, to me, it was an interesting thing because King Alex literally used it. It talks about the winding of the rivers and the winding of the roads and all these things. And in his making of the luck ball or jack ball, he actually uses dirt from these different areas to put in it. He literally uses it. So that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
There's a lot of talk, that is very cool. There's a lot of talk often when you hear about scriptural magic of using the Psalms. There is. And in fact, it's almost become exclusively the idea when you go, who do scriptural magic? People go, oh, yes, the Psalms. And the Psalms absolutely have a very long standing tradition in magical work, Kabbalistic work, You know, you have the 7th century French text known as the Book of Gold, which will show you a very clear example of European sonic magic, which often includes various esoteric symbols that are traced out alongside the recitation of songs that are used to be worn as amulets or that are dissolved in water. That's another common thing, or dissolved in oil, dissolving them to putting the power of that song. But the whole Bible itself is a magical book in the eyes of a conjurer, and that's something that I think modern-day practitioners sometimes forget. I was raised using the Bible in my conjure work, and the way we did it was the entire Bible was considered a conjure book. For example, when we're fashioning doll babies, Genesis is your best friend. You know, you can use Genesis 2, verse 23. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she is taken out of man." This is a man making a female doll baby. Or you can use the section where it says, it's chapter 1, verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." That's excellent for doll baby work. And you don't have to look just at the Psalms, but the entire Bible can be used in it. And another interesting one, just to give a little bit of a survey of different verses that can be used, this is one that I use quite frequently, and it's used to force someone to speak the truth. You can use a white skull candle that you burn down with calamus on them, and it's Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. "These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye, every man, the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates," and so on and so forth. So it's excellent for making someone speak the truth when you need to hear what they're going, you know, what they're thinking, or to kind of guide or navigate your way through people's lives. So the Bible itself is a very powerful source for scriptural magic, not just the Psalms. The Psalms are excellent and they're great and they're commonly used, but I think inspiration can be drawn from the entirety of the Bible.
Yeah. Ali, what scripture was that again?
For which one? For
Zechariah 8, what?
Zechariah 8, verse 16 to 17.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to give you all another one. Numbers 14, the entire, everyone goes Numbers. I mean, that's the one where, you know, they're just numbering people. No. Numbers 14, you want to read the entire chapter from beginning to end for the death of an enemy. Very serious. Numbers 14. And there's a couple others, again, that people just don't know about, you know, that they don't, people say, well, how do I make holy oil? Well, go to Exodus 30,
right
verses 23 to 25 is a recipe for holy oil. Right there, you can make your own if you want to. And there are others. I mean, there are many, many of them that we all know who work with the Bible. There are just a bazillion of them. Another one is to protect against the evil eye. Book of Proverbs 23 and verse 6. And also, you follow that directly with Proverbs 28, verse 22. That is to, both of them are to protect against jealousy and the evil eye and send it back. And you put them one after the other. So those kinds of things are well known. Many of these Old Testament ones, of course, come out of Jewish folk magic, which has, you know, entered into hoodoo through the fact that, Christians kind of picked this stuff up from Jews. That's where they got that religion, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But more African Americans use these old Jewish scriptures, though, than white Christians do, generally speaking, except for Germanic people. You'll find a lot of these well-known among the Pennsylvania Dutch.
It should be noted that scriptural magic in hoodoo is often viewed as something that came with an intermingling in urban areas. But the reality is that scriptural magic goes all the way back to Africa. People often forget that Christianity and the Bible did exist in Africa. In fact, a large portion of the slaves that were brought over were either Christian or Muslim, with some indigenous element, of course. You know, this is a Africanized version of Christianity. So we find, even in Africa, the forefathers of root bats and conjure bags and mojo bags having scriptures in them. So this, this has been a Gurdu's tradition from its inception, if you will, from its very foundational, formational moment. And so we find that even in areas where it isn't particularly urban, so you find, for example, the Gula people of Southern Carolina, Southern California.
and Georgia.
Absolutely, and Georgia, absolutely. They absolutely use scripture. And they are pretty insulated, isolated group that has remained insular without much outside influence. And so represent really an older root concept of hoodoo. And you can see scripture was used quite frequently.
I use it myself. I use scripture. I use Psalms printed very small for petition papers in mojo bags.
Mm-hmm. All my mojo bags, all my conjure bags always include verses, and that's just how I was taught to use them. And so there are biblical verses, and even the very idea of a petition paper or the idea of putting your prayer in there comes from the idea of scriptural magic included into a mojo bag.
Mm-hmm.
So the roots were originally very clearly coming from Africa and combining the Bible and the Quran and whatnot. Another interesting prayer that people, that I always recommend to clients, and this is for a prophecy. This is one that I've used in the past, and it's also good. This is something that I use with a white skull candle or a purple candle, psychic vision oil, power oil, and it works wonderfully. It's really, really good for anyone who's starting out to read or who's going to do prophecy work, seership, or with crystal balls, and it comes from Amos chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. And it's a long one, so I won't read it all, but it is very, very good. And it ends with, "The lion hath roared, who will not fear the Lord God had spoken, who can but prophecy?" So it's excellent for developing those psychic faculties.
Okay, I'm going to say a couple more things, too, because we were talking about printing out stuff small, and of course we can all do that now with digitized and printers and all that stuff. When I was young, I was often taught to copy out the verse by hand and put it in, that copying it by hand helped you. And sometimes you go to a root worker to make a mojo and she'd say, copy out this verse by, she'd give you a Bible, copy out this verse by hand, sign it with your name, to signify your allegiance to that verse, whatever it might be. And I have in my collection of old booklets, when I have found old hoodoo pamphlets, and these are like some of these very common pamphlets like Master Book of Candle Burning, I'll buy any copy of them that I find that's very old, because often there will be papers stuck in them or notes in the margins or notes in the end papers. And very often I will find them with pieces of lined school tablet paper, that old brown, turning brown newsprint with a little blue line on it, and people have written out a Bible verse on a slip of paper with or without their name or their initials on it, and it'll be cut in the form like a Chinese fortune cookie little horizontal strip. And that was very commonly done when I was young. I still recommend it, tell people to write them out by hand if they can, if they will. All right, we're going to have to move on because we've run over our time. But I hope this was of interest, and we're going to come back. Ms. Michael will have a free spell for us that we'll be using biblical scripture as well later in the show. So let's turn it over to Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and y'all, stay tuned because the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjamin Ali, and this week's special guest, Ms. Michael, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to our first client, who is calling in from, this is Zen Jen calling in from area code 417. This is from Monette, Missouri. Zen Jen, are you there, caller?
Yes, ma'am. It's Tammy Lee.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for joining us. And I do see that you've written that you're a long-time listener. We appreciate that, and that's great. You've not been on the show, though. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you've never been live on the air. I will go ahead and let our host know that you have had readings with Miss Kat back in 2010 and 2011 about one of the previous situations that you're getting ready to that I'm getting ready to announce for you. Okay, you did follow the root work advice prescribed to the letter with great results, and you've never gone to any other reader or root worker. Okay, and she writes, I have two sons, ages 15 and 17, from a previous marriage. My abusive ex was forced to attend anger management and parenting classes and had supervised visitation in the early days. But for the past 8 years, the boys are with me two-thirds of the time, and the ex is paying child support. The ex took me back to court in December to have his support obligation reduced. I've done court case and pay me work on the situation. It's still not resolved, but the support has not yet been reduced. I do support kids' right to a relationship with both parents, but now my youngest son says dad has become critical, telling them that they need to be more manly to prevent people questioning their sexual orientation. Dad attends a fundamentalist church and makes them attend it with him. My middle son is struggling with guilt after attending events at this church and indicates that dad has begun talking about getting custody of them, such that they only see me for a few weeks in the summer. My youngest wants to know that I'll come get him if he texts me a distress call. Things appear to be escalating. I'm concerned for my son's well-being, mentally and physically. Filing for modification of custody myself is not off the table. You are not my lawyers, and this is not a legal case, but I would like some root work advice. And what should I do to help my kids? Turning it back over to you.
All right. Now, what I'm going to do is, I know you had originally asked for reading and root work, but this is, you don't need a reading on this. You need root work, okay? So
okay.
We're just going to go to root work, and we're all three going to kind of pile in on this thing. Number one, I'm going to tell you the first root work, and I would advise, I know you're doing good work with the court case and the pay me. You got that thing, you know, still hanging in there. Do you have any protection on these children when they go to stay with the dad? In other words, are you dressing their clothing?
I have been sending personal body wash products. I bought African black soap. I've sewn a couple of little items into, like, their school packs.
Okay, good. All right, so you know what we're talking about. You're not a newbie at this. All right, you're making little protection packets. You're sewing them into their stuff. I would like you to do a couple other things, too. If you can, take a hair off your head and thread it on a needle and thread it into the seams at the top of them, their shoulders, both shoulders on their clothes, and clip off at each end. And as you do that, you could also oil that thread if you wish to with Guardian Angel Oil, Protection Oil, St. Michael Oil, whatever it is you feel appropriate to your religious background. And say, may angels surround you and protect you. The idea of an angel on your shoulder, everybody knows what that means. And other things that are going on here, in addition to protection, you can also, as you said, put a little bit into their body wash products, a little bit of any of that kind of stuff to keep them protected. I also want you to be having a little home shrine. Of course, it doesn't need to look like anything much, just a photo of you and the kids without dad in it, just a picture of y'all together. And behind that picture, and I'm sure you've heard me if you're a long-time listener to the show, I want you to put a flat envelope packet with your prayer, okay? So on the thank you card to God, and you're going to put on the left-hand side when you open it up, thank you, God, for letting me have so-and-so and so-and-so, my beautiful little children, and all these things you thank. Let them carry me and carry them in my womb. Let them, you know, be nursed at my bosom. Thank you for letting me see them grow to be fine young men. Then that's on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, now, God, I come before you with a humble heart and my head bowed down and on my knees praying that these children be protected from the unreasonable demands of their father. Okay? and then you can spell those out. And you just ask for that in Jesus' name. Okay? So those are, and then you put fold that up and put it behind the paper, and you, when they go, you have them 2/3 of the time, when they go to see this unreasonable dad, keep a little candle lit, keep a little glass of water out, and pray for angels to attend them. Now, I'm not going to say anything bad about his church, but I know there are some churches that misuse the name of God, and he sounds like he's going to one, because either he's nuts or the church is way, you know, off the track. But to tell teenage boys that they need to be more manly to prevent people questioning their sexual orientation is off the hook, not allowable, and should be stopped, right? And so you want to do some kind of protection around that, possibly doing some kind of a shut up his mouth spell. I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Michael. Ms. Michael, what would you say?
Yeah. When you spoke about the father saying people are questioning your sexual orientation, my justice altar is behind me, and Bayard Rustin is on it, and I just saw that glare through those through those big black glasses, and it's like they used to say of him late in his life that Rustin never knew there was a closet. Okay. So I would recommend, along with the wonderful things Ms. Kat suggested, to work with the spirit of Bayard Rustin. Get a picture of him, print it off the internet, get a purple candle, and burn it next to your son's picture, saying, Bayard, with all your strength and bravery and courage and wisdom and peace and toughness, stand by my son. Protect him, guide him, lead him, and teach him. Mm-hmm. And I'd also like to see you work some of those enemy verses that we talked about. Was it Numbers 13 where it says, no, 14, where it says
14.
Things like, break the arm of my enemy. You might want to burn some candles for confusion to your husband when he's in court.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You might even want to work a beef tongue spell or a freezer spell on him.
That's a good one. A beef tongue spell, tie his tongue up. I'm going to throw another one out on his damn church. Psalms number 1, just burn that on his church. Just say that on his church while you burn a candle on his church, okay? Psalms
mm-hmm.
number 1, that is for the ungodly who pose as godly. Let them get out of here right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Ali, what do you have any things to throw in?
I do. What I would recommend is, you know, you've got some really great suggestions. When it comes to the protection of your children, it's paramount that you ensure that everything is going perfectly there. You've got some great suggestions. One of the things that I would also recommend is taking bay leaves, basil, and slippery elm, and burning that to ash, and then tracing out a cross on their shoes and reciting Psalm 91. And what mm-hmm. that will help them do is, in addition to the protection that you've given them, it allows them to slip through any of the machinations, any of the gossip, any of the questions about their sexuality, or any type of harsh criticisms that the father seems to be putting them through. It helps them slip right through without any of it really harming them. So that's a really great technique, and I've done
Say those herbs again. Bay leaves?
Bay leaves, basil, and slippery elm. You burn that to ash, and that bay leaves to turn back evil and for victory, basil for peace and to remove evil, and slippery elm to slip through wagging tongues. And you burn that to ash, and you trace out a cross on their shoes, and you recite Psalm 91, and that'll help them kind of go through the situation without anything affecting them or touching them. In addition to that, I would recommend that in your court casework, you start including the fourth pentacle of Mars and the mm-hmm. psalm that's associated with that, which is Psalm 110, verse 5. And it is really good for a situation like this. It says, the Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. So that's anyone, be they king or not, will be crushed by the Lord in his righteousness. So that can help you become victorious. And the fourth pentacle is used for victory. And that can assist you to be successful in the court case endeavors as well. So this comes down to approaching it in two ways. Making sure that you have your children protected, and then following through with legal means. Kind of be proactive. Don't wait for him to kind of make the move. You want to be prepared ahead of time to get things going, okay?
Yeah. And I'm going to throw in something. Candelo, one of our good friends from Florida, mentioned chili peppers in the tongue, absolutely, gunpowder, itching powder, and sand from an anthill. That's good. I would add, itching powder is good. And I would add poppy seeds because that's for confusion.
Yes.
And I would add alum, A-L-U-M, alum powder. That is to shut up the tongue. Okay. Stitch him up, tie him round and round and round and round. Pin him up, pin that tongue up, and put that thing. What did you say?
I said, cover the thing with lemons, too. Douse it with lemons. Squeeze it right
onto
it. Oh,
lemon juice. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Lemon juice and vinegar so that his words are sour. Wrap it up in tinfoil. Put it back in the back of the freezer. And we need him to definitely, stop the ability to harass these children with his foul words. Now, as far as strengthening the children, I'm going to say one other thing for them too. You want to do some prayers for them, as you know, to call on a strong male figure, not the dad, a spiritual figure to help them. Miss Michael mentioned Bayard Rustin. If you're unfamiliar with him, look him up. But if you have someone in the family, go for someone in the family, whether it was perhaps your father, your grandfather, not someone from the dad's side, unless he had a really different family than I think he did. But somebody, a male who stands in loco parentis spiritually for those children, okay? And if you cannot find such a one, then again, Archangel Michael is always a good one, the guardian angel. Everyone is said to have a guardian angel. And so that those children have a spirit with them. If it is the spirit of one of your family or ancestors, and if you can get to their grave, and if you can get graveyard dirt, then put that in any packet for them and say, you know, be with me now. Grandfather, be with, so-and-so as they travel in their daily path. And as they encounter their disgusting father, you stand in loco parentis, granddad, and you watch over them, okay?
Yes. Ms. Kat, may I ask a question?
Sure.
I have my grandfather's ashes. But he
good enough. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And just if you use ashes, remember that they will sift out. So you can sew them in several layers of very tightly woven handkerchief cloth is sometimes what people will use, or a tightly woven satin. But you want several layers. Fold and sew it. Fold and sew it, and you can make a little packet that will work just fine. Okay.
Mm-hmm. One last thing, I'd like to recommend herbs for your Bayard Rustin candle. Basil and bay leaf, white mustard, devil shoestring.
Okay. Write that down in the chat room, honey.
Yeah.
So that we can have it in the transcription later. Okay. Say it one more time.
Basil, bay leaf, white mustard seed, devil shoestring.
All right. Those are good protectors, very good protectors, and keep the kids safe. All right. Well, good luck to you. You're going to need it. This guy's off his chain and needs to be rechained, okay? Oh, and speaking of chains, I don't even mind if you took chains and put them around that tongue, okay? I'm talking chains with a lock, okay? If you really want, I mean, that
Thank
guy
you
needs
so
to
much.
Be chained up. Okay. All righty. Let's turn it back over to Miss Tammy Lee, and we'll go to our next caller.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from area code, here we go, calling in from area code 309. 309. This is Julia. Julia, are you there, caller?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Well, welcome to the show from Chicago, Illinois. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is not only your first time calling into the show, but your first time joining us into the chat room, and thank you so much for being here and joining us here with everyone this Sunday evening or afternoon, going into the evening. And here we go. You've been apparently, it looks like you've been involved in the forums, but you have not yet gone to any other readers or root workers with air. And here is your brief description of your situation. And she writes, I've been studying magic for some years now, but no path has ever felt as comfortable, empowering, and right for me as discovering hoodoo. Plus, I feel as if I'm an important turning point in my life, a time of empowerment and much-needed healing. I feel the two things that are connected. I would like a reading as to my future in hoodoo and what areas I might excel in and should focus on, plus any root work advice as to do this and making the most out of this turning point in my life. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Okay, so this one is going to go to Ali first.
Sure. What I've been doing, as Ms. Tammy Lee has been talking, is looking into my carnelian ring and scrying with it, calling on my spirit of divination to assist me with this. And I see a couple different things here. First and foremost, I can see why this path resonates with you, because there's a strong sense of empowerment. The sense I'm getting from my scrying is that your experience of empowering yourself will in turn be paramount to your ability to empower others. So this is one of those situations. Some people come to root work because they're raised in it. Some people come to root work because they learn about it somewhere. And other people come to root work in need. Having your need met, having your healing done, you in turn will become a healer. So I do see the makings of a professional or someone who at the very least will be working for the community, praying for others, helping others, and empowering others here. So that's what your destiny in root work holds. I also see here and need to work with your ancestors very strongly. I have an older female that is appearing in my scrying stone. This is someone very gentle, very powerful, though, who is related to the home, has a rose that they seem to be offering you. So this is a female ancestor. I don't see a name. I don't see a letter, unfortunately. Otherwise, I would give it to you. But I see a very powerful female ancestor, probably through your mother's line, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not positive, but I'm about 75% sure I know who that would be. It'd be my grandmother. And ever since she has passed away when I was 16, her presence has never left. She keeps popping back up. So I'm assuming it'd be her.
Well, she's popping right up in my carnelian ring here. And she's standing up as being a guide to you and as a helper. This is someone who's going to help develop your abilities and who's going to help develop your connection to the world of spirit. She's going to be that link so that you help understand spirit a little bit more. You'll also have scent when she's around most. Not only will you feel her presence, you may very well smell something that is very familiar to her, is what I'm getting through this crystal. So be aware of that, and that's her showing you that she is definitely there. That made sense to you,
That's
huh?
dead on. That's happened before. That's dead on. That's definitely her.
All right, well, so the crystal here, my carnelian is showing me that your destiny in this is going to be that of a healer. But healer is a very broad term. We're talking about spiritual healing. We're not talking about literal. We're talking about mending people's spirits. That you yourself are going to require empowerment, and your grandmother is going to help you with that empowerment. And she's going to show you comfort by appearing to you, by showing her presence to you, and by very strongly with scent. And once you're able to empower yourself, you in turn will then go and empower others. I do sense that in terms of gift, you're going to have a very strong work towards mending families, mending hearts, towards healing work, and female empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
It's very big for you, okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. That's what I see in my carnelian ring, and I'm going to turn this over to my colleague. So be sure to work with your grandmother.
Okay.
I will.
All right, that was great. All right, I'm going to do a brief reading, too. What I see here is the Three of Wands. These are tarot cards. I'm reading three tarot cards for you, and they are the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. The Three of Wands shows a person who's on a hill looking out over a bay of water, and it's sunset. There are three stakes or wands stuck in the ground. This person is a bit raggedy. They've waited a long time for this, but their clothes are patched neatly. But coming into the bay are three treasure ships. They have finally gotten what they want. Your studies in hoodoo, since you were asking specifically about African-American root work, your studies in hoodoo should last at least 3 years. You will get what you want, and it will come in time, but it's not going to be instant. It says 3 years. In the fourth year, and I say this because the next card is the Four of Wands. Just happens, the Three of Wands followed by the Four of Wands. In the fourth year of studying hoodoo, there are two people approaching a little sort of a canopy made of four stakes or wands stuck in the ground with netting and fruit and flowers. In the fourth year, you will have the fruits of your studies, and you will be meeting with other people in a what we might call a social environment, a party-type environment or a workshop-type environment. You will meet other people, and that will be the culmination of that. The third card is the Ten, and this is the Ten of Coins. And so what we see here is a family. So this goes along with what Ollie was saying. This is a family of three generations, a grandparent, parents, a child, and even some pet dogs here. And they're in a courtyard. There are grapes, and things are very pleasant. In the tenth year, having studied hoodoo, you will find yourself able to apply this to help members of your family, to solidify your family, and things will go very well. You will become someone who will be able to pass this on to your family members as time goes on. When you yourself perhaps have grandchildren or younger children in the family, you'll become the old elder who knows quite a lot. But it's going to take a while. It's not going to happen immediately. Okay? 3 years of study. In the fourth year, you will actually start to really rejoice with and meet with people and be able to accomplish and have the fruits of your labor. In the tenth year, you will be really recognized as a person who is absolutely able to do anything you want to and help those in your family.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Miss Michael, and she's going to give you some root work advice on what to do.
Okay, so you've got some power. You have felt energy moving, and it's not as vague as that sounds. As you know, you've smelled fragrances that are spirit messages and other manifestations mm-hmm. like that. I just took a chance and looked at my pyrite sphere, which has all these little interestingly shaped glittery holes in it, and I saw two female figures talking. And I saw that just as Conjurman Ali was talking about your grandmother being willing to instruct you, willing and able. So definitely, mm-hmm. You know, stick close to her. If you don't have an altar set up to her, set one up now. You know, as simple as a candle and a glass of water and her photograph. Little belongings of hers, maybe a piece of jewelry. Set that up there and try it on by way of asking her if it's okay for you to wear it. And if you feel a little wave of gladness when you put it on, that's probably a sign that it's okay for you to use that as a personal talisman between you and her, a link that you always have on you. Now, did she read cards or look at a crystal ball or anything of that kind?
Yeah. No, well, not that I know of.
Okay.
She was just a very powerful woman in her own personality, but I don't know of anybody in my past that has any sort of connection to that stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, the thing is an essential part, in my experience, an essential part of effective root work is divination, because you not only have to have power, you have to know where to aim it and at what.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you don't do much divination now, as many people don't when they start, experiment. The reason I asked about your grandmother doing any divination was because I would have advised you to start with whatever she used, because that would be likely to be a better fit. And maybe not, but it would have been a good place to start. So do experiment with systems of divination. Tarot requires a lot of memorization. If you're good at that, by all means, try it.
I have been starting to do a tarot reading the Rider-Waite deck, and I've had some really good successes. So.
Oh, great, great. So you're already on your way.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt, though, to have a couple other systems so you can you know, sort of cross-reference and cross-check. So,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, do some experimentation and find the ones that fit with you.
Okay.
And I would say ask your grandmother to give you signs in dreams. And
okay.
You might even make yourself a little dream pillow. Poppy flowers, among their other many uses, bring true and lucky dreams. So you might just put a little bag, write a little letter to your grandmother and put that in there with some poppy flowers and for some reason I want to say white clover blossoms. Don't know why. And again, white mustard seed because that's for good faith.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And put that in there, and you know, just like it was a mojo bag, and put it in your pillowcase. So that's
mm-hmm.
your dream pillow, and it'll influence your dreams, keep them sweet, but also keep them true.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to make one little comment on this. Poppy flowers, not poppy seeds. Okay,
right.
There's a
yes.
difference.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm aware of
that. Very different.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, thank
All
you
right.
guys so much. It's an honor to
yeah.
talk to
you. Yeah, okay. So I'm going to just, before we go to our next caller, I wanted to mention something. Mary B. Private messaged me about this, and it was a good thing she did. I hate private messages because it makes it hard for me to type in the chat room. But thank you, Mary B. Last week, we had talked about lighting candles for Nick. All I remember was that, Nick in Pennsylvania, may he come home safely, and Mary
mm-hmm.
B. wanted to know if he did. Yes, he is back safe. I wouldn't say he's home safely. He was put into an institution for his own safekeeping, which is good. That's what he needed, and that's where he is. And but thank you all for your prayers. He did arrive back in civilization, but he did not arrive back at home exactly. But you know, this is exactly he was. He found himself. I mean, he wasn't lost. He found himself, but he was found by others who realized it was something wrong, and he was institutionalized for his own good for now. And they're going to work on his medications. And thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone who prayed for Nick. It all came out as best it could, and whew, we're really, really, really glad. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee now. Uh-oh, where's Miss Tammy Lee? Mm-mm.
Here we go, just a little drop phone call. Beg your pardon, here we are, Miss Cass. Thank you so much. Y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast and iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com and Conjurement Ali of conjurementali.com, and this week's special guest, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and return to our forum for our next client who has signed up to be on the air. And we have Adorned Angel, also Desiree. Are you there, caller? Area code 818.
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. And would you prefer to be called Desiree?
Absolutely, that's my name.
Okay, super. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to go ahead and let our hosts know that this is, to the best of my knowledge, your first time being on the show. Prior to the show, I was doing a little bit of my normal research, as I do, and you have not yet gone to any other readers or root workers from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, including and especially Miss Cat or Conjurement Ali, okay? And she writes, I would like to know when a new love will enter my universe. I know that he is already here. If so, when and where will our paths cross? Can you describe all in length physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual characteristics of the soulmate? I've been asking my spirit guides, source, and the angel to bring him in. I've been doing a lot of healing and forgiveness and intense spiritual work regarding myself. I'm ready right now for my new soulmate. Plus, there is an addition to this.
That is a different person, and we don't understand why two people posted as Adored Angel. Do you know, Adored Angel, why two people posted?
Yes, I do. My daughter, Sarah, had asked
We got it. You both used the same account. We were kind of confused. We can only take one of you. We're taking you, okay?
Yeah, you're taking me.
Okay,
and she'll
great,
have
got
to
it.
Do it on her own.
All right, get your daughter to get her own account so we don't all go crazy around here. Okay,
because
we're not smart enough to search. That's all right. We're not smart enough to search you all out. I'm going to ask you a couple questions before we turn this over to Miss Michael to read for you. What is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Virgo, and my birthday is September 10th. I'm going to be 56.
Oh, 56. Okay. All right. Okay. And, Virgos are a very practical people. They do have, and I'm going to be really honest here, they do have the tendency, if they don't push themselves out of that, quote, virgin state, to kind of calcify and solidify in that, quote, virgin state. I know you're not a virgin. Y'all have a daughter. But you know what I'm saying. Virgos can become very inward and self-reliant to the point that people don't look at them and go, hey, hot mama, must have her. So knowing that you're a Virgo helps us understand some of the things that we're going to try to push you out a little bit into the world. Okay, let's turn this over to Miss Michael and let her do a reading.
Okay, I'm not an astrologer, so the tarot helped me here. Starts with the High Priestess. I am reading for the first time on the air the Golden Tarot, not the Rider-Waite. And the meanings are a little different, too. The High Priestess in this deck is, she has divine wisdom. She knows all the divine secrets, but she's also not very active and doesn't put herself forward. You know, despite the ocelot at her feet, the wildcat. But still, you know, she's likely to become cloistered in this virgin state, as confirmed by the Four of Swords, this card of isolation, meditation, recovery, and seclusion. The other half of the story, two more cards, I think, is your new love, whom you don't know yet, the Hierophant. Somebody who insists on doing all things decently and in order, thinks of himself as a spiritual guide or is intensely interested in spiritual things. But unfortunately, the last card is the Four of Cups, which in this deck shows someone who is inclined to take things for granted. Here are the cups. A fourth is coming down from heaven. He's not even reaching out his hand to take it. So, Your new love is out there, but he's a bit too much, too retiring like you for the good of either of you. So when we get around to the root work, I think there's probably going to be some great big lodestones in it. That's all I know about him now. I would say someone intensely interested in spiritual things, but not realizing that he's got to go hunting for love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, beautiful. All right, Ali, what do you see?
Yeah, I've done a geomantic reading, which is excellent for determining things like how your soulmate's going to look and where you're going to find him. Looking into the seven halfway of Fortuna Minor, Fortuna Minor does mean that you're going to have to actively look for this person. Waiting for him to show up is unlikely. He's not going to appear out of the blue, so to speak. You're going to have to actually go out and look for him or go out and make yourself available so you two run into one another, and it's very important that you do that. Outside help is going to be important. We have populace of the right witness. You're going to meet this person in a group or a group setting, possibly through mutual friends or through mutual associations is how you'll meet him. This person will have either be a fire sign or they will be a Leo. Right, so Leo specifically, if it's on Leo, fire sign. Medium height, strong build, very strong bones, will have dark eyes, but the eyes will have a luminous quality to them, meaning they'll flash with emotion. tendency. When he's happy, you'll see it very clearly in his eyes. But his eyes are very, very expressive, very luminous, very bold, very courageous. Will have some spiritual inclinations, but unlikely a practitioner. So meaning they will be open to the ideas of things like soulmates, open to the idea of certain spiritual concepts like energy perhaps, but they themselves are unlikely to be a practitioner. They won't be pulling cards or doing anything of the sort. They may be a little bit quick to anger, but it's not a dangerous anger. It's more an anger that stems from a little bit of insecurity. Overall, though, very generous with a good sense of humor is the sense I'm getting for this person. So that's a bit of a description of what this person is going to look like, what to look for. How to meet him is going to, again, very clearly, you have to step out of outside your comfort zone and rely on allies. It seems like there's going to be someone who is going to hook the two of you up, either through mutual association or mutual connections. And the sense that I'm getting in terms of timing is early spring, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great.
All right. Well, it's my turn, and I'm going to prescribe you some root work. And Miss Michael was right. We're definitely going to have some honking big lodestones involved in this one.
Okay.
Michael's cards really kind of told a story here that explains some things you're going to have to get over. High Priestess and the Four of Swords were her first two cards. That is, you as a very balanced person who literally could live without someone if you had to, and who is also multicultural, open to a lot of things. And Four of Swords is a kind of retiring. And then the other two cards for the soulmate here, Hierophant, someone who's also spiritually minded, Four of Cups, may refuse to go looking. Okay, so we have two fours and we have two clergy members. It's kind of an interesting balance here. Do you have a spiritual path that you follow?
Yes, I do. I practice going to Agape International Spiritual Center, and that's Dr. Michael Beckwith.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing, I'm a member there. I go there religiously every Sunday. And I love it. So
good venue. This is a good venue. You need to consider finding someone through a religious venue, whether it's that one. And I certainly know that group is a good group, very well intentioned, very good, high hearted people, and loving people. So that's a good one. But you know, whatever you can do, and that includes in my mind also nonprofit organizations as well as specifically religious groups. In other words, groups for the social good. That is what those four cards that Michael got us showed me. Now let's talk about the honking big lodestones. I want you to get two lodestones. They don't have to be specimen size, but you want to get at least lodestones of some, you know, not these little thumbnail size guys, okay? You want to get some that are a little bigger than that. And you're going to get some magnetic sand, which is to feed the lodestones. And you're going to name one lodestone for yourself. This is me. You know, it represents me and all my love, all my longing, because you know how lodestone draws and attracts, right? The other one represents this soulmate. This is my soulmate. This is his love and longing. You're going to try the lodestones against each other. What that means is you're going to dip them in a little magnetic sand, and you're going to move them around until you see which way they attract, because they're going to repel some ways, they're going to attract some ways. When you buy them what's called a matched pair. And you're going to try them against each other so that you have the perfectly best matching surfaces, okay? Then you're going to spread them apart from one another, as you are from this soulmate right now. Okay, and then you can lay a little path between them of magnetic sand, or you can lay a little bit of a attraction or come to me or whatever you want to. You can dress them with a little come to me oil. But what you're mostly going to be doing is dressing them with magnetic sand. And every day for 7 days, start with them about 7 inches apart. You're going to move them a little closer. Move both of them. Don't just move yours. Don't just move his. Move them both. And say, feed the he, feed the she. That's to give magnetic sand to each one. Feed him, feed her. Side note for those people who are sexually attracted to people of the same sex, it would be feed the she, feed the she, feed the he, feed the he. It doesn't matter. And if you're bisexual and don't care what you get, it's, you know, feed the me, feed my other, or whatever you want. It's just, but it's the old-fashioned way to call it is feed the he, feed the she. You feed them. And they will begin to develop, this magnetic sand will begin to develop like clusters, like hair on them, and we call that lodestone hair. And you're going to bring them closer and closer and closer together. Now, in the back, behind the three of them, like a triangle, you can put a little white candle. And you can use tea lights, you can use 4-inch candle, 6-inch candle, glass vigil candle, whatever you want, and just say, let this light shine to bring my lover to me. Okay? Now, when they finally get together, they will join. Because you've tried them, you know which side will join. Now, I want you to do something else before you start. I want you to get two lodestone grits or two little magnetic Scotty dogs and put them on those two bigger lodestones as what we call riders. And as everything comes together, those riders will also be touching, as will the big lodestones. Now, you take the riders off, and you're going to wrap them up and put them in a little piece of red flannel or a red flannel bag together. Because they've been touching, some people don't like them loose in a bag. They will tie them up tight in a little piece of cloth and just tie it like a little a circle, you know, and like wrap it around. It looks like a little flaming comet or flaming bomb type shape. Put that in a bag. That's to keep those together, the riders. They've been trained now, and you're going to wear that on you. And it can be very small. You could just put it in your bra. The bigger two lodestones you're going to put under your bed, okay? And you're going to use some love attraction oils, like attraction, come to me, love me, fast luck, whatever it is you want. And dress those lodestones, dress the four corners of your bed, dress the four corners of your bedroom, dress the four corners of your house, dress the four corners of your property, dress the four corners of your block. And if you really want to, you're going to go dress basically the four corners of the perimeter of your town. Okay? Hey, and if you can, go dress the four corners of the county you live in. Okay? Because what you see what I'm saying? You're making like, come here, here's where I am. You know, this is the target,
yeah.
And you're the bullseye. Your bed is the bullseye. Okay?
Okay.
And,
yeah, this is great.
And now wear that, those little riders, the little rider lodestones, you wear those or the little Scotties pinned to you and on you so that even if you're away from your bed, you're carrying that energy with you, you see? And that person will be attracted to you. But what we've seen so far already is that this person will be attracted to you insofar as you are engaged in what we would call social and religious movements for the greater good of all. Okay? So those are the kinds of things that I like to do. Now, there are other things you can do, too. You can keep flowers on that little altar while you're doing stuff. I like to use, little roses and just make a pretty bouquet, right? And then you can dry those petals. If they are white petals, they tend to turn tan when they're used up. But if you have pink or red roses, they will turn a darker red color, and you can put them in with the lodestones. When you put the lodestones under your bed, put them in some sort of a dish. Please, for the love of God, do not use Tupperware, okay? Because, like, this is not stored leftover food. This is a love spell, okay? So you want a nice little container to put those lodestones in, and with the magnetic sand all around them, and with the little rose petals if you want, or if you have them, you don't have to. And I use a little metal brass chrome-plated Art Deco candy dish that has red Bakelite handles and Catalan, what we call Catalan Bakelite, and a little lid knob. Anything nice, a wooden thing. Some people make it in a little box in the shape of a heart. We sell heart-shaped boxes that people use for just exactly that purpose. And some people will sprinkle when they go to put this stuff around their property with the oils, they will also sprinkle a little magnetic sand down mixed with sugar at every corner. Now, if you mix sugar in your rug, you might get ants in your house. So just wait, reserve the sugar and the magnet, for the outside of the house. Let the ants be outside. We don't want to attract it inside the house. But sugar for someone to be sweet and magnetic sand to draw them. Okay? Does that all make sense to you?
Yes, it does. And the products that you're talking about will be on your website, correct?
Correct. If you go to luckymojo.com/catalog, you'll find all those things. Magnetic sand and the lodestones are under minerals, and you'll find lodestone grit and larger lodestones. The oils, if you go to luckymojo.com/catalog, you'll find a section also called anointing and dressing oils. You don't need all the oils I just mentioned. Whichever one appeals to you the most. Love me is a good one. Come to me is a good one. Attraction. Look me over. All of those are good. They all smell slightly different. Some of them are more floral. Some of them are more spicy. And you can wear that oil on you, too, besides using it on the lodestones. Just put a little dab in. Mix it with your regular perfume if you wear perfume. You don't have to wear it just straight. You can mix it with perfume. Okay?
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I really appreciate your help. And my other question for you before I leave is that what would be the best time for me to talk to you about the correspondence course that
We got a couple of minutes here. I can explain that to you. If you want to take my correspondence course, and people ask about this all the time, you have to have a, kind of a purchase record with our shop. The reason is that there is required items that are going to be described in the course, and I want to make sure you have them, things such as lodestones. You can't take the course without at least, you know, getting a few things like that. And if you go to luckymojo.com/mojocourse.html, all of the required purchases are listed there. There's also required reading. Now, those books, you could buy them from Amazon, and some people do because the shipping is sometimes cheaper from Amazon or they cut right on the prices. If you want them signed by me, buy them from my shop. Those books are Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, and that book has been required reading since the course began. It's all about herbs and roots. But I recently added a couple of other books, The Black Folder, which contains all of the flyers and handouts from every course I've ever taught that's open to the public, not the private course, but all of the workshops and lessons I've given, plus all the lessons and workshops that other people have appeared at, like Kondravanali has a couple of articles in there, and many other members of AIR do as well. And then another book that is now required reading is The Art of Hoodoo Candle Magic, a little $9 book on candle magic, so that you don't come into this asking questions like, how do I use a candle, because you'll already know. Okay. Once you have those books and all the required items purchased, which have to be purchased, the items have to be purchased from Lucky Mojo, then you just contact Katrina at Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, and she's my assistant, and she will set you up with a free consultation with me, and we'll talk for about an hour to an hour and a half. And I will ask you plenty of questions about how you got interested in this, where you're from, what your training is, what your background is. And if you agree to all the terms, then I'll take you on as a student. If you graduate, you'll get a certificate. And gobble gobble, you'll be one of us.
And make sure you do your homework.
Do your homework.
It'll change your life.
Right. And all of those, under the sound of my voice tonight, if you are a student and haven't turned in your homework, please turn in your homework. Baby, please turn in your homework. All right. Thanks a lot for that public service message.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Okay. Well, I look forward to talking to you then, and now I've got my homework.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. All righty. I also teach a free apprenticeship to my graduates, and we also have a yearly Hoodoo Heritage Festival every May, which you can, any member of the public can attend and go to these workshops that we all teach. Miss Michael will be there. I believe Michelle Jackson will be teaching, Madam Nadia, Kondravan Ali maybe. I'm not sure. We're still working on his schedule. Dr. E, all of these folks will be there.
I'll be there.
You'll be there. Oh, he's made it up. Okay, good. Oh, we were worried about you.
I made it up.
All right. He's going to be there. Okay. So we're going to have a wonderful workshop again in May, and you can attend that anytime. Okay? All righty.
Well, thank you all for your time. I really appreciate it.
All right. You're so
good
welcome.
Luck.
Let's turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee, and then we're going to come back with our free spell.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, just a very quick note here that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is hosted each week by Kondravan Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And with that, Miss Michael, going to be turning it back over to you at this time, our special guest member from the Association of Independent Rooters and Rootworkers, AIR, joining us from HoodooFounder.com in Willits, California. Turning it back over to you.
Okay, thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Tonight's free spell kind of harmonizes with our panel discussion, scripture and prayer books in root work. And, the use of scripture as petition paper. Now, you may have heard, or you may be hearing for the first time, that I make something I call the Triple Strength Bible Hand, which contains an entire New Testament. And it's kind of pricey because it each one is customized, and, you know, it can take 2 weeks just to design it. But I'm going to give you a cut-down version tonight that you can make yourself. And this is not,
wow.
It doesn't have a whole New Testament in it. It has three scriptures in it, so it's a mojo bag. So you start with Luke 15, which is, this is a mojo bag to clean as well as open your path and help you get right with the Spirit as the foundation of good luck. Okay, so you're going to start with the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Print it out small. And write on top of it, Lord, have mercy on me and set me straight. Sign your name. And you put a snip of your hair in there, a pinch of boldo, a little piece of eucalyptus leaf, a couple white mustard seeds. You fold that toward you and tie it up with red thread. And then you take a little teeny tiny copy of Psalm 65, which is one of the luck-changing psalms. It's the one about how iniquities prevail against me and God is going to do terrible, scary things to clear my path and then everything's going to be wonderful. So on top of that, write, Lord, open the way, and sign your name. And in goes a little fragment of dragon's blood, a little piece of patchouli, root or leaf, a little piece of devil's shoestring, and the packet you just finished making. Then you take Psalm 23, which basically covers every situation in life, including walking through the valley of death. And on that, you write, Lord, surround me with goodness and mercy. Sign your name, and put a little bit of cinnamon in there, a few grains of sugar, and the packet, the double packet that you just finished making. And you tie each of these packets up as you go with red thread. Okay? And you pray fervently. You know, read those scriptures, glance them, and use, glance over them and use phrases from them to pray fervently, heartfelt, and pray as you make each packet. And you put that all in a mojo bag to wear on your person. You feed it with attraction and crucible of courage oils. You might want to put some King Solomon wisdom in that mix also.
Wow. That's what, back in the old days, used to be called a trio hand.
Oh, yeah?
Right? Yeah, trio hand is where you have three parts to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful trio hand. Trio hands are often either made in three separate packets, prayed over separately, and then combined in one bag, or, as you just said it, one inside the other. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Very complex, and thank you so much for that. That's absolutely fantastic.
Should I put that on the forum?
Yeah, if you want to post it into the chat room,
okay.
That would be great, or post it into the forum, and then people can find it from there. Okay, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee because she's going to take us out of here.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Kundaman Ali. And thank you, Miss Michael of PeterFoundry.com in Willits, California, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest from the member from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Flora of TheGoodLuckLady.com in Oklahoma. Once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Sportsville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCronConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in next week, once again at the same time, when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Dunn Band playing the Jug Band Wall. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. I want to just quickly, while I have a minute here, say a good shout-out to HoodooPsychics.com, one of our sponsors. If you all are looking for an instant reading, $3.99 per minute, hoodoopsychics.com. Miss Michael is on almost every night. I'm on almost every night. Conjurman Ali is on at least two or three times a week. And you can get a good reading from any of us at hoodoopsychics.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Hoodoo Psychics has its own Facebook page. If you go to hoodoopsychics.com, you will find a little F. Punch that F, you'll get to the Facebook page and like it. Or call 1-888-4-HOODOO. Okay? Thanks a lot. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, all.